Sorry, we dropped out there for a second.
Technical difficulty of some sort.
We've got two things going on. We've got the phone call, which we've been doing for 7 years, and then we have the Facebook Live, which we added when Facebook Live started about
2.5 years ago.
Yeah, 2.5, 3, maybe 3.5. I don't know, something like that. Whenever Facebook started, we started doing it. And here we are.
So welcome to Vital Living Monthly. We do this on the 15th of every month. My name is Donna Schuller, and this is
Robert Schuller. Yeah,
so,
Robert Schuller.
He already told you we do this on the 15th of every month, no matter where we are. Sometimes we come from Asia. Sometimes we come from Africa. We come from the United States, Canada. All kinds of different places. I'm not going to name them all. And tonight we're in Mexico.
And occasionally we get separated. You may be in one part of the country and I'm in the other or separate countries or wherever it is. And you already said we're coming from Mexico, right?
Tonight. So here we are. And should we start with prayer?
You know what? I believe that's always a very good way to start. And I would highly recommend that always.
Okay, you pray.
Oh, you want me to pray? Okay.
I'm going to read the scripture, so you pray to
them. Okay, I'll be happy to. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, you are good, you are great, you are kind, you are loving. And so as we join together from every different corner of the globe, we pray that you will come and touch our hearts where we need it the most. Give us an insight, a perception, an understanding, a realization of your goodness at work this very moment. For you are a God who spoke and created the heavens and the earth. You spoke and created everything there is. You are God without beginning and without end. And so we come to you in this moment in prayer. And you have promised us that where two or three are gathered together in your name, so you will be. And so you come and you answer our prayers. You bring us power. You bring us hope. You bring us joy. You bring us goodness. You bring us a future. And so we thank you, Lord, for the challenges we face as they are opportunities for us to experience your glory and your power at hand in our lives, in this present moment, in this century, in this decade. And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Robert has scripture picked out for me here, and it starts in Isaiah 49.
Actually, 40.
Isaiah 40. Oh, my eyes aren't as good as they used to be.
That's okay.
Okay,
Isaiah 40.
Isaiah 40, starting in verse 9. Yeah, verse 9.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, here are these words from Isaiah, which is found in the Old Testament. Shout and do not be afraid. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. And we know that God always blesses the reading of his Bible.
Yeah, his word.
His word. So tonight, oftentimes we have, we have live guests on here. So it'll be Robert, myself, and someone else. Tonight, I am doing something different. I am going to be interviewing my husband, Robert. And we're going to be talking about how our relationship with God is affected by scientism. And, you know, just that title alone, people go, whoa.
Scientists, man.
Right. I actually got into it a little bit with somebody a week or so ago because he kept mentioning the scientific method, the scientific method. And I said, no, I believe in the scientific method. I'm a nutritionist. So I'm very heavily schooled, more than, say, other subjects, I'm more heavily schooled in the sciences, because I'm into nutrition, which has to do with the science of the body, the biology of the body, and how the systems work, and how food affects the body. So, you know, I'm all about science. I mean, science and religion have worked well together off and on through the centuries, but we're talking about scientism. So I'm just going to start right out here and ask my husband, you know, tell us a little bit about what scientism is. What are you talking about? What are we saying? How does that differ from just saying, oh, I believe in science, or I'm a scientist?
Well, the difference between scientism and just believing in science is that a scientism with a capital S is someone who worships science at the negation of God. He uses science as his foundation in life, and everything in life is focused around the science, and we lose the fact that there is a God, that God is in control of the world, and that science is not. And there are lots of complications when that happens. First of all, there is only one truth in life, and that there's only one thing in life that does not change, and that's truth. And that happens to be the Almighty God himself, who is unchanging, who is without beginning and without end. Science has a beginning. It has an end. Science changes. You're talking about your nutritional practice. Tell us how science has changed nutrition.
It changes weekly. It changes daily sometimes. It's almost impossible to keep up with the latest scientific findings. You know, I can give you a couple of examples. Many, many years ago, they thought soy was good for you.
Yeah.
And it turns out, you know, what it is we took a really good thing here in America, which was certain fermented, unprocessed soy products found in Asia, and we started mass producing them. Oh, my mic fell off. We started mass producing them, and suddenly we've got all this produced soy, and then they find out that people are getting thyroid problems and thyroid cancer, all kinds of things. So that's just one example. I mean, it changes all the time. They're, you know, science is...
How about medicines? Have you ever seen a medicine that comes out as the greatest, newest thing, and then all of a sudden it comes out, well, it's not all that good as we predicted.
Right. It caused thousands of deaths or people paralyzed or, unfortunately, you know, really sad things happen. So, you know, I guess what we're talking about tonight, Robert, is about how scientism affects our religion. And, you know, we happen to be followers of Jesus. We're Christians.
Absolutely.
But this applies to people of any faith if scientism is threatening how they believe and how they relate to God. And maybe you can talk a little bit about how that's impacting our lives. And
well, again, science can become a religion. You can make a religion out of just about anything. Humanism, where we are human, and that's our religion. I'm going to believe in me, myself, and I, and the story. That's humanism. Atheism, I believe that there is no God, and that's my belief. That is a religion. Atheism is a religion, which actually requires a lot more faith than any other religion I know of. Then there, like we've already mentioned, scientism and humanism, but how about this one? Try this one on for size. Bibliolatry. Bibliolatry is putting the Bible in and of itself as God, as opposed to the tool which is used to lead us to God. So we land up worshiping a book instead of looking at the book, reading the book, understanding that book as a tool and a means from which to have greater understanding of who God is, how Jesus relates to us.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's really interesting. So, you know, I know one of the things we've been doing is, you know, and we've had a few comments about this, but we've never been really political. You know, we've always felt Robert's, you know, been a pastor for many, many decades, and I, as his wife, have had an opportunity to speak to many, many people publicly around the world as well, because we've had a lot of blessings in our ministry and had a lot of opportunities to speak to people in all different cultures. So, You know, here's what's interesting. Without getting political, we actually have to step up. We feel like we're at a place in time in our faith where we have to step up and we have to tell the government that we have the right to practice our religious freedom the way that the Constitution allows for it. And it's a really big topic, you know, but our religious freedom and our freedom of speech, the First Amendment, has been
kicked
away. It has been violated, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. So as, you know, as an ordained preacher, an ordained pastor, as his wife, as a lay pastor, we just felt like, you know, with our many years of influence and many years of inspiring people, that this is part of inspiring people to step up and to protect your right to religious freedom to practice your religion in whatever way you see fit. So,
well, I think what Donna is alluding to, without coming right out and saying it, is that 2 years ago, the state of California took away the religious exemption to choose not to vaccinate our children. And by taking that religious exemption away, you've taken away the rights for us to be able to choose whether science is right or whether our belief in the power and the sovereignty of God has greater value over whatever the science is telling us, that these certain vaccines have the potential of protecting us better than God does. I know as soon as I mention vaccines, everyone gets pretty concerned. I mean,
yeah.
the feathers go up, vaccines. But let me just try to give a little clarity to this, and that is that there are people who are allergic to penicillin. I mean, I think we've all heard of people who are allergic to penicillin. And if you give somebody some penicillin, which is normally a good thing,
they can die.
Suddenly, it's a very bad thing. And the fact is that there are many things within vaccines that people are allergic to. And today, people do not have the right not to take those vaccines
for children.
For their children, mm-hmm. Yes, specifically in the state of California, state of New York, even if they are allergic to it. And so that clearly I'm very concerned about that. At the same time, I believe that we need the religious, we have to have an expression to be able to share our religious beliefs that we don't wish to participate in vaccines if that's our religious belief. Now, I'm not trying to impose anything on anyone else. I'm just trying to maintain the freedoms, the freedom of religious expression and the freedom to be able to speak and talk as we feel we need to. And that is what I find is very, very important for us. And that takes us back to scientism, because scientism is used as the means by which there is no religious exemptions allowed for vaccines, nor are there any medical exemptions allowed for vaccines.
I
kind of tied those
yeah.
two together.
Yes, absolutely.
Because there is some tie in relation to the fact that there is science which proves that vaccines may not be good for everybody. In fact, for most people or a large percentage of the population, they are not very good. And so we need to have the option religiously to say no, because I am a firm believer that scientism can be a very dangerous thing.
I definitely believe that. And interestingly enough, you know, we've traveled all over the world. We've been into Africa several times. I think last time I counted, I think we've been into like 16 different countries in Africa. We've been into deep jungles of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We've been into Uganda. We've hiked with the gorillas. We've been to a lot of places. We've been all over Indonesia and Asia. I'm just saying this because Robert and I have never had a vaccine going into these places. People panic and they say, oh, we need vaccines, we need this, we need that, and
often with our children.
Yeah, and our children. And that's okay. If you choose to do that, if you choose to put these foreign substances in your body, and we won't go into everything that's in these vaccines, but you should know, you should learn. But if you choose to do that, that's great. But we need to maintain our freedom not to do so. So anyway, thank you. Thank you, Diana, from New Jersey. Yeah, it's happening in your state. You know what happened there just a month or so. So Robert's going to share some more stuff, some more out of this little book that has been a devotional book of mine, and then
yeah.
I gave it to him.
Yeah, Donna gave me this book. It's called Shadowlands and Songs of Light. I'll put it up there. That's what it looks like, even though it's in reverse. So you can't actually read it unless you can read mirror images. But it's called Shadowlands and Songs of Light. It's by Kevin Ott. And in Chapter 8 specifically, I found extremely beneficial as far as building my relationship with God, understanding that I worship a sovereign God, reminding me that I worship a sovereign God, and pointing out the dangers of scientism. In there, he quotes Martin Ryder. Martin Ryder wrote an article for the Encyclopedia of Science, Technology, and Ethics, and he has it footnoted in here, so I know exactly where it is, and if that's important for you, we can get that to you. But here's what this is what Martin Ryder said about scientism and the dangers associated with scientism when it is carried to a ruthless logical conclusion. A scientific culture privileges scientific knowledge over all other ways of knowing.
Wow.
You remember what you read in the in the Bible?
Right.
Who can advise me, says God? Who knows more than I do? And what the scientists are saying, we do. We know more than God does. We're going to advise God. We're going to tell him, you know, you didn't quite create this body correct, so we're going to make it just a little bit better. We're going to change the DNA. We're going to imprint it with certain kinds of genes, and we're just going to make it a little bit better by injecting everybody with these things. So we know better than you do, is what scientism is telling us. So a scientific culture privileges scientific knowledge over all other ways of knowing. It uses jargon, technical language, and technical evidence in public debate as a means to exclude the laity from participation in policy formation.
Is that ever true? Yeah.
Well, think about the recent debate that took place in regards to autism and vaccines. First of all, the news is reporting that there's a link between autism and vaccines. Then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, the science has been resolved. There's absolutely no link whatsoever between autism and vaccines. And yet I tried everything to try and find this science, which establishes that there's no correlation. And I couldn't find it at all until finally I discovered and saw an interview with Robert Kennedy Jr. That's Senator Bobby Kennedy, who was assassinated in the 60s. His son, who has involved in this process, who finally was able to share with me how this science took place. It's the most remarkable case of confused science I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anyone who's interested in knowing about this or has any questions as to how this took place, but basically it starts by going back to 1986 when vaccines were given complete immunity from any legal recourse. You cannot sue anyone in regards to a vaccine, regardless of what happens to you in spite of the fact that you can prove that it was the vaccine that did this, there is no recourse you have in a court of law. So what they did is they established a fund to be able to reimburse individuals who have adverse reactions to vaccines. That started in 86. Well, the fund has billions of dollars in it today. And suddenly you have this five thousand cases that were supposedly linked with autism and vaccines. And when they looked at the number of cases they had to deal with, it would have completely liquidated this fund.
Which, by the way, the fund is VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Recording System. And it's, you know, you can look it up.
This is all public knowledge.
Government agency, VAERS, V-A-E-R-S.
So you have this board, which is responsible for protecting this billions of dollars, which have been collected from 50 cents from every vaccine that's ever had. And they have the responsibility of protecting this fund, and suddenly have 5,000 people who are coming to claim and are threatening to completely liquidate this fund, and which would be catastrophic as far as the vaccine industry is concerned. So these individuals decide what they're going to do is they're going to take five cases aside, and they're going to deal with these five cases, and then they will make a determination which will determine the effects of all the other 5,000. Now, let me remind you, this is supposedly the scientific evidence that is being collected to prove that there is no link between autism and vaccines. So what they do is they get the premier neurologists in this regard because they pull out five cases. These five cases are going to be tried. These five individuals are going to determine the outcome for everybody else. So the first one, they have a trial, and they bring in this neurologist, the most decorated and honored neurologist in the country. His name is Zimmerman, and he testifies that there is no link between autism and these vaccines. And so the first case is thrown out. Okay, so we're 20% of the way there. We got four more to go. So the second one that comes up is a young name by the name of Pauling, Hannah Pauling. I had a little notice there saying something about our connection, so I hope you're able to see this one away. We're good. So the second one was a young girl by the name of Pauling. Well, her father is also a neurologist, a very well-respected neurologist from Johns Hopkins. And she, this board sees her and her father talks with Zimmerman. So Pauling and Zimmerman are talking together. Zimmerman hears the evidence that Pauling has because he watched his own son. And he watched his own daughter and what she dealt with. And she shared with Zimmerman. And as a result of that, Zimmerman changed his mind and his perception of what the vaccine connection is with autism and vaccines. So now this fund is threatened again, and the board decides we've got to do something about this. So they pull them aside, and they do something on the side with them, and they create a settlement for Pauling, and the negotiations are completed, and everything has been sealed. And it's not available for public visibility. So we do not have the particulars of what went on. All we know is that the Paulings were paid a certain amount of money, estimates of up to $20 million, and everything is sealed, and that's the end of that one. So you go, well, what about the other four? Now you've got Zimmerman who won't support the other four.
There's three left. Not to mention the 5,000.
Yeah, not to mention the 5,000, but the other three. So what happens with the other three is that the board goes back to Zimmerman's original, yeah, you heard me, his original declaration on number one saying that there is no connection, they tell him they no longer need him for any testimony. So there is no cross-examination. They just read that, and based upon those readings, in fact, he sent them a letter saying that he has changed his mind, that this no longer has validation. But in spite of that, the other three were denied and refused, and they were put away.
Right. And then all the other thousands.
Then with that, the declaration is made there is no link between vaccines and autism, and all 5,000 go away. The fund is protected. And
the ABC and NBC News reports
everybody reports there is no connection.
There is no link. And, of course, have you watched the news lately? Do you know who supports the news?
No, you mean if you watch TV, if you watch the commercials.
You watch the commercials, yeah.
So anyway, that's how that scientific resolution was created based upon the connection between autism and vaccines. I'd like to see more scientific data, if there is any. Anyway, coming back, what was I reading? I said a scientist's cultural privilege. It's hard to read in the slide, I'm sorry. A scientific culture privileges scientific knowledge above all other ways of knowing. It uses jargon, technical language, and technical evidence in public debate as a means to exclude the laity from participating in policy formation. Despite such obvious transgressions of democracy, common citizens yield to the dictates of scientism without a fight. And I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
I didn't do a thing. 2 years ago, they took our religious rights away from us to be able to stand up and say, I don't believe this on religious grounds, that I should be forced to take vaccines. Given vaccine. And I did not fight that. And I should have then. But the truth is I'm going to do it now. So let me come back again and say the norms of, despite its obvious transgressions of democracy, common citizens yield the dictates of scientism without a fight. The norms of science abound in popular culture, and the naturalized authority of scientific reasoning can lead, if left unchecked, to a malignancy of cultural norms. The most notorious example of this was seen in Nazi Germany, where a noxious combination of scientism and utopianism led to the eugenics excesses of the Third Reich. And again, these are not my words. I am quoting Martin Ryder in the Encyclopedia of Science, Technology, and Ethics. What happens when we leave scientism and allow scientism to lead the way and throw out God, throw out our logic, throw out the knowledge that we receive from God, and just understanding that we can, as individuals and people, come to a full understanding of what's important to us by studying the Holy Spirit of God, the messages and the words that He has given to us in order to experience a healthy, happy, joyful, good life.
Yep. So I don't think we're going to take any questions tonight. We can see if people want to ask some questions.
I think it's a good thing to ask questions, yeah.
Okay. Well, you can ask on there. We can look at the questions coming in on Facebook. If there's anybody out there listening who wants to write in a question, we can answer you, and we'd love to do that. Let's see, do a question. I've got a new panel here. So let me...
Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. We love you, too.
Thank you, Sandy.
So let's go on talking about how important it is for us to put science, to balance science and theology. Science on its own, without a theological foundation, without understanding that science is to lead us to the reality of who God is. And we've found that through the Bible. I studied archaeology when I was in college. My major was ancient civilization. I went to the Holy Land. I know I've taken my wife and my children on archaeological digs.
Yep, we're going to go.
Yeah, we have artifacts that we have personally dug from the earth. So we know they're legit. We know they're first century. They were buried for literally 2,000 years. and so I understand archaeology. And that science of archaeology. And what I've discovered is that the number one tool for archaeologists in Israel and the Middle East is the Bible. And it is almost always more accurate than anything else. And so if there's a question, well, is it biblical or is it some other source, they'll go with the biblical source and almost always find their treasure. And it's amazing. So there is I believe in science. I love science. Here's how science helps as far as in its relationship with theology and with religion. I believe in the power of God to be able to do amazing, miraculous things. For instance, if I was to break my arm and the doctor looked at my x-rays and says, you broke your arm, I would believe those x-rays. I would have my arm set and I would have it fixed. If at the same time I went to a faith healer and he prayed for me and he said, your arm is well, it's no longer broken. What I would do is go back to and get another x-ray, and if the doctor said, wow, I don't know what happened, but your arm isn't broken anymore, I would take the cast off and I would believe the x-rays. On the other hand, if the faith preacher who said your arm is healed, I went back and the x-ray still showed it was still broken, I'd leave the x-ray.
I'd leave the cast off.
Science is such where there is a lot of room for latitude as far as our Christian belief is concerned. And I believe that it's imperative for us as Christians to put first and foremost our faith in God above everything else. Now, we need to understand that as we trust in the assurance of God's love and protection for us, that miraculous things are going to happen. We cannot begin to measure the accuracy of God's miraculous nature. Case in point, I did a prayer once. It was in October, and it had been serious fires. It was a fire that was impossible to go out on its own. And we had a prayer. The ash was falling. It was October. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And I said, we have to pray for rain. And people started laughing. That's funny. Yeah, we'll pray for rain. And the next morning, it rained, and the fires were able to go into control. We cannot measure the hand of God. We cannot determine what God is or is not going to do. And there was no scientific thought that would have said, oh, it's going to rain. Scientists would have said, no, it's not going to happen. But the fact is, those things do happen. And then the scientists scratch their head and go, huh. That's a scientist with a capital S is totally bamboozled by that whole thing. Where a person of faith says, okay, the science will prove that God's done some miracles here.
Well, with that in mind, I mean, some of the most faithful Christians we know are actually some of the most faithful Christians we know that are actually scientists.
Oh, I'm sorry. And some of the biggest scientists are very devout Christians.
You were flipping it around. Saying the same thing. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of Michael Dillon. I'm thinking of a lot of these really great, I mean, there's Nobel Prize scientists that that trust God more than they trust their science. And it's just the way it is, and it's the way it should be. And so, you know, this whole thing is just to say that do not let scientism become your religion. Trust in things that come about from scientific discovery. Trust in the scientific method to a degree. But remember, like Robert said at the beginning, that science is finite. God is the only thing that's infinite and real and never changes, ever, ever, ever. The only one you can really trust. And just remember that scientism is not something to not be questioned. You're supposed to question anything and everything you do to your body, you put in your body. You're supposed to question it. You're supposed to be educated. So, trust in God.
Well, here's what I want to encourage people to do. From a basic logical thing, before you get a vaccine, just ask for a list of ingredients. Mm-hmm. Be informed. Ask for the side effects, for the list of side effects. There are side effects to everything you put in your body, and they have that printed up. They're required, actually, by law to give you that information. And so they should have that available, but don't be surprised if you cannot get those two simple questions answered.
But legally, they're supposed to tell you.
Yeah.
And don't be surprised at what you find in them, because once you learn what's in them, there's no going back. Just go to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, mainline hospital, and they talk about the aborted fetal cells that are in vaccines that are still being used today. So that's just one thing that we're definitely opposed to, because we're followers of Jesus, and we don't want that injected in our grandchildren. We didn't want it injected in our children. We're healthy people still. Our children are healthy. Nobody's going to get anybody else sick because they haven't vaccinated themselves. And just educate yourself, pray about it, learn, and just be open to the other side. Be open to just hearing and finding out for yourself.
Be educated. And trust your gut, your heart.
Yeah, trust your mind and intuition.
And realize that God has given you the will and the means and the strength and the power within who you are to be everything that he's called you to be. You don't need to enhance anything beyond that. Yeah. So
we did not ask, I have a new panel here, but I think I can still tell you that if you're on the telephone call and you'd like to ask a question, you just push *6. It's the same as always. It's just that it doesn't show up until someone wants to ask a question. And typically people are shy and they don't ask questions, and that's fine. But we don't want to hang up and end this Vital Living Monthly program without giving people a chance. So this is probably a good time, too, to say that, you know, everything we do is volunteer, because we're ministers, if we're pastors, and we cannot do what we do without the generous donations of people that support us. There are people that listen all the time, and they come, they watch Sunday mornings, and they write to us, and they support us financially, and we can't, you know, we can't do what we do without that, and we appreciate it so much. If you've never supported Robert Schuller Ministries and you're thinking you might want to do it, you know, there's no such thing as a small amount. If you feel in your heart that God's calling you to support us in some way so we continue to do all we do, we travel the globe, we have a Sunday morning service on Facebook Live, Robert Schuller Ministries. We have this once a month on the 15th, and we do a lot of writing and praying for people, and we do weddings and funerals and all the stuff that pastors do. We just don't have walls right now. So if you feel in your heart you want to do that, the easiest way to do that is to text. The telephone number is 555-888, and you just text. What do you text, Robert?
If you text RDSM, Robert Donna Schuller Ministries, RDSM.
That's the message, and the phone number is 555 888. So you just pick up your cell phone like you're texting somebody, and instead of their name, you just put 555-888, and then in the message bar, you put RDSM. And like I said, no amount is too small. If you want to support us on a monthly basis, that really helps with our budgeting, because you can talk to any church. A lot of times the donations come in and then they disappear for months. It's like, what are we going to do? So we're getting good at budgeting, but you've been doing this your whole life. So you should be. It panics me a bit, but it's okay. God's good. Anything else you want to say about...
Good. So I'm convinced that God has given you the innate strength and ability to function in ways that you cannot even begin to imagine.
Yes.
That he is in process right now of blessing you and giving you untold, uncomprehendable peace and joy. And that whatever you're facing, whatever turbulence and challenges and suffering you're facing right now,
mm-hmm.
God is about to bless you in ways you cannot imagine.
Yes.
He wants to. He's waiting for you to call upon him and say, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Come down and touch me where I need that blessing the most.
Don't be surprised at how that happens.
So give thanks right now, even though you haven't experienced it, for the joy that you are going to receive. Give thanks for the blessings that you are about to get in the next day, week, and month. It's going to come. It's going to surprise you, and it's going to be beautiful.
And join us next month on Vital Living Monthly. It's always on the 15th of the month, and it's always at 6 p.m. Pacific time. So we love being with you all.
6 p.m. on the 15th.
It's time for Vital Living Monthly.
You can tune in here and find us.
And if you haven't,
we'll be live.
Yeah, and if you haven't heard all of this and want to go back and listen to it, we post this and then we put it in our podcast as well. There'll be links available on the Robert Shula Ministries Facebook page after we sign off, and probably by tomorrow morning. I need a little break tonight.
I think so.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. We love y'all.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.